the last thing I'm going to ask is, what do you think that we can do to begin to make America great?
We get rid of that dog first.
Yeah.
What's up, guys?
Welcome to Elephant in the Room, where no topic is taboo.
Today's our first official episode of the podcast. The first one was a little taste. Now we're going right into it.
Woo!
So let's get it going.
All right. So the title of today's podcast is Make America Great Again, ... For who? Question mark.
MAGA for who?
MAGA for who? So the first thing we're going to establish is, what does MAGA mean? Mm-hmm. MAGA stands for Make America Great Again. Obviously, I just said that. But where was the slogan birthed? So it was originally used by Ronald Reagan during his presidential campaign. He was basically promising to make America great again. And then, but it never really caught on, I guess. I know people had said that, but the person who popularized it was definitely Donald Trump, because now they're making a bunch of merchandise off of it. There's hats, t-shirts, flags, stickers.
Well, that definitely comes from him being a businessman also on top of that, like business minded. Yeah. So, you know, it's definitely like all the merchandise, all that, you know, using that to popularize that phrase, to also coin that phrase as his, is just like his mindset of being just business.
Correct. So the reason why I chose this topic was because, like, as you guys know, that the topics that we choose are gonna usually be topics that are taboo within the church, subjects that the church chooses to kind of refrain from speaking on or kind of be silent about. So, excuse me, Make America Great Again was one of those topics because a majority of the church did vote for Donald Trump. They voted him in to office. And so I kind of wanted to bring that subject up because I feel like there's kind of a tear between a lot of our younger generation who are a part of the church, which would be the millennials and Generation Z. Is that what it is?
I believe so.
And then with the older generation of the church.
Yeah. And I find that interesting because it's like, the older generation is super, like, conservative, super, you know, they, for some reason, they relate a lot more to the Republican Party.
Right.
But, and then we have the newer generation that really gravitates towards liberals and that feel. So, it's just interesting to me to see that those polar opposites between generations that aren't really that far apart either. Right. So kind of trying to, we'll try to dig into that, you know, difference also of why they think that way.
Yeah, definitely. So just to kind of piggyback off of that, we're going to go into our first question that I'll ask Gerardo.
Yeah.
The question is, do you think America was ever great?
Okay. And my answer to that is gonna be negative. No, I don't think so. I don't think, one, because obviously they've used this slogan before. You know, he's who you said, Ronald Reagan. He used this slogan as something to spark an interest, spark a conversation. So obviously there was something in that time that wasn't great as well, and he was trying to get people's attention as to, I can fix the problems that there are. So it's not necessarily that America was ever great. And then at the same time, it could be great now, but for specific groups of people. And it could be not great for the opposite group of people.
Definitely.
So I don't think it's great. I think I've said this before. I think the greatness of America is the idea of it, like the idea of freedom, the idea of people having freedom of choice, freedom of speech, freedom to do and be who they want to be. But that doesn't always relate to all people groups and, you know, all genders, all you know, those things are still things that are being figured out, not talked about, taboo, controversial. So it makes it difficult to make steps in those areas. So I don't think it's great or it ever was fully great. I believe the idea and the dream behind America had potential, has potential, but I don't think it's there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What about you?
Yeah, I'm going to say no. I think I definitely will say that because this country was built to be great for a certain group of people. I mean, it was built to kind of like accommodate the lifestyle of a certain group of people.
Yeah.
Of course, I'm going to say like you said, it was great for, or it is great for a certain group of people or certain groups, I guess. But I know that there are other people groups that have not benefited from all of the supposed things that are promised here in the United States, which are life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. I feel like that looks different for every single people group. And I mean, we have things such as slavery, which when this country was founded in, what is it, 17...
Yeah, I think I flunked history.
No, it's... Well, in the 1700s, like 1766, I believe it was, that America was, it's like the July 4th when we celebrate
Independence.
1776 is when our country was finally established. But slavery came into the United States like in the 1600s. So before the United States was the United States, it was brought here. To the Americas in the 1600s, and then throughout the creation of the American colonies, which was through the 1700s and 1800s, slavery still existed
They're gonna 21 savage me for not knowing the year we were established in this country.
It's okay, a lot of people don't know, but
slavery was established before, you're saying America.
So slavery existed in, it started in 1619.
Yeah.
It was when a Dutch ship brought 20 African slaves ashore in the British colony of Virginia. Mm-hmm. So that's technically part of the United States now, but at the time that was a British colony.
Yeah.
So, but when this country was established in 1776, there was still slavery at that point.
Yeah,
so
and that's already a people group being subjected to less, being... having less opportunity than another.
Right. And so America wasn't great for them.
Yeah.
But it was great because other people groups who lived in America were able to benefit off of that.
Yeah.
So, and then, I mean, we could get into a bunch of other things, which there's other subjects, like the subject of slavery and kind of like the people of color and what role they've played in the United States will be another part of, like, it'll be another subject for a podcast. But
yeah, and then we can also, it also goes into systematic stuff, things that the system is in place now, but I think that's a bit of can of worms for right now.
Right, so, but I definitely believe that it was great, it's been great for certain groups of people, but I know that for others, it hasn't.
Not fully, yeah, agreed. Next question is, what direction do you think that this country is going in as far as making social advancements? And this is a good question for you to start for you.
So I think that I thought that we were going in the right direction. I think I said this before. I don't know if it was on here, but in a conversation or just in conversation, I think that growing up, because it's so crazy how the K-12 education system kind of blinds us into thinking that we've made all of these advancements, but then once you're in college or booted into like the reality of society, you kind of start to see the truth behind all of the white lies or the stories that they sugarcoated throughout your K-12 education. And when I graduated high school and I got into college, I saw that we really hadn't made that many advancements. But then I saw people standing up, like kind of being revolutionary and, you know, standing up for gay marriage or standing up for women's rights or just people standing up for things that they believed in. And once I saw that, I thought, oh, you know, we're doing something. We're starting a movement.
Yeah.
Obviously, we haven't made any progress because if those people groups feel the need to protest, they don't feel like they're, you know, we've made any social advancements, but at least we're being heard, I guess, in a sense. But then when this recent incident with Jussie Smollett happened, I kind of sat back, and then not even just Jussie Smollett, but then with all the Black Lives Matter things that have been happening, because a bunch of innocent Black people have been getting killed by the police and excuse me, a bunch of other, you know, unfortunate incidents that, and very sad incidents that have been happening, I see that I don't think this country has been making social advancements the way that we really should have, where we should be at this point. Mm-hmm. It's almost like we haven't really done much. It's all just been hidden. Mm-hmm. And now that Trump is president, it's all coming to the light again.
Yeah. So we'll get to the Jussie Smollett incident in a bit. But I definitely want to say, on the social advancement side of things, I think that there was definitely like this wave that happened. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it caught this momentum, you know, the Black Lives Matter momentum caught on, and there was this movement that went forward, and, you know, it started catching steam, and people started, then that activated, you know, the feminist movement, you know, that activated other movements, you know, and so that was great. And then this is just my opinion, this is my feeling. Mm-hmm. As soon as Trump came around with his, you know, slogan, Make America Great Again, factoring in the population that he was targeting, mm-hmm. which was lower class, you know, Caucasian white people, mm-hmm. You know, it then caught a movement to them, mm-hmm. and it gave them kind of this, you know, flagship person to look up to and a movement to look up to. And so everybody started to move in the same manner. Again, this is my opinion, mm-hmm. in the same manner that Trump would move, as far as openly being open about what he hates, what he's against, mm-hmm. yeah. and talking negative openly. And it's not that you can't share your opinion, it's just being for me, blatantly disrespectful, mm-hmm. towards another group of people, individual that you don't mess with. And
yeah.
that sparked a movement for them that caused their movement to happen. And so then my feeling is that we were taking 10 steps forward, making you know, some progress.
Yeah, like getting a momentum.
Yeah, yeah, there was progress definitely being made. But then as soon as Trump became this figure that, you know, of, again, my opinion, of hate, kind of, mm-hmm. you know, others backed that, and that caused us as a country to take those 10 steps that we took forward, we took 10 steps backward. Mm-hmm. And now every time we take one step forward, there's three more steps backwards that society takes right now. Because of those clashing movements, I think.
Right.
So I think that's the direction right now we're stuck in. Mm-hmm. Just kind of this back and forth of social advancements. Like, we'll make an advancement somewhere, like let's say in Black Lives Matter movement, mm-hmm. but then somewhere in the you know, then the feminists get attacked in some movement or some hate crime or something. And then we'll move our focus to that, to like the Me Too movement, and then something happens over here. So it's like we make advancements in places, but we also take steps back. Yeah. So that's what I feel.
Yeah. And I think the whole Make America Great Again slogan, it shouldn't even be Make America Great Again. I think it should just be Make America Great.
Yeah.
Because I don't think that things that worked in the past are going to work in the present all the time. And that's, I feel like people always, especially in the government, they're like, well, we've always done it this way, so we should keep it that way. Or, we tried it this way, let's go back to that way. I feel like you, in some incidents, yes, I know that can happen. It can occur that maybe you changed a law and then you thought, you know what, actually, we see that it's not really working out, let's change it back. But I think that we should always try to see where society is right now and what this society needs, and making America great again, making America great for the people that are living now, mm-hmm. versus trying to reverse and go back in time. Like, Make America Great Again doesn't make any sense to me, because you should always try to be pushing for something new and something different.
And definitely, I think, and I just really have this feeling of that Make America Great Again has that subliminal message of like, let's take things back to when slavery was okay, to mm-hmm. when hate was open hate was okay, you mm-hmm. know. And I just have that sense that
like that's
slogan,
like
is the underwritten message,
mm-hmm, like,
you know,
it's
what
implied,
I mean?
Right.
And so saying that, how do you think that factors into the Jussie Smollett incident that happened?
Yeah, so I don't know if whoever's listening, I know it's pretty much everywhere, but Jussie Smollett, who's an actor on the show on Fox called Empire, he plays on the show a Black gay singer, and he's actually in real life a Black gay singer and actor. But excuse me, I feel that there was only certain groups of people in the church that were speaking out about this, and that was people of color. Mm-hmm. And then other people weren't saying anything. They kind of just stayed silent about the matter. And I feel like it kind of hurt a little bit. And I want to read... Before I go on, I want to explain what happened. So Jussie Smollett allegedly was walking down the street in Chicago in like the middle of the night or early, super early morning, like 2 a.m. And he was walking at his building and there was two men outside and they basically jumped him or they attacked him. He was attacked. They attacked him and they were screaming, "Make America Great Again." And they poured they poured some acid on his face or some sort of like poison or bleach. That's what it was, bleach.
Yeah.
And then they tied a rope around his neck.
Mm-hmm.
Like modern day lynching. Like that's what it's. And the crazy thing is, if you're saying "Make America Great Again" and then you're trying to like perform a lynching, goes back to what you were saying is mm-hmm. like. I was just completely baffled. I was like, are you being serious?
Yeah, that's the mentality you have. So you're saying that while you're doing that action, that's what you want to see be done in a normal basis. Mm-hmm. You know, let's make America great again by doing this.
Like, yeah, because America was greater back when we were allowed to do this.
Able to do that, exactly.
Right, and so a lot of people have been saying that it was all a setup to try to make Trump look bad, to try to get him impeached and all this stuff. I honestly think that there's things that people are like saying, oh, the facts don't match up, the facts don't check out. Whatever it is, I feel that if a person is claiming and they're suffering and they're in that time, they're mourning, why would you try to change and try to like make it as big of a deal as what it is? Mm-hmm. Try to take away the attention from it and say like people are always gonna find something. Like and I don't think that incident's going to make a president get impeached, first of all. I feel like there's so many things that he's done that already the people could say, let's impeach him.
Yeah, exactly.
Like this, is horrible and it's disgusting, but I don't think that this one thing is going to make a president get impeached. So I personally don't think that this was a setup to try to get or an attempt to get President Trump impeached. I feel like it just almost brought... To me, it was a reality check of where society is at right now.
Yeah, the current state. And I think the thing is also, you know, for us to say that it was a setup, it's embarrassing. It's sad. It's a low place to, you know, to be as the victim.
Yeah.
So why would he, Jussie Smollett, willingly be like, let me put myself out here as if I was attacked, as if I was, mm-hmm. you know,
and jeopardize his career
in that way? Like, that doesn't make sense to me. The facts don't make sense. That doesn't make sense. Like, mm-hmm. why would I? I'm an actor. I'm a singer. You know, I'm doing good for myself. I'm successful. I'm on a successful show. I don't need more publicity. I don't need my name to be out there like that, mm-hmm. especially in a negative way, as if a victim of being attacked. You know, especially if I was him, I want to be this image of power, image of like success. Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't just willingly put myself in that kind of situation. That's just whack, and it's especially whack because, you know, as a victim, you need to be supported. Yeah. You know, we need to rally up and support someone that is going through things like that.
Yeah. If someone is being oppressed, us sitting back and saying like, oh, that couldn't have been, we're just acting as more of oppressors than we are of anything else. Yeah. And I feel that it's our duty as a church to not so much judge, but just be there and just to love. And I feel that it was, the church didn't do that. And with this incident, at least, the church lacked that love. At least not, I know there were certain people that spoke out, and I'm gonna go ahead and read some of their posts, but mm-hmm. there was, I feel like I was really saddened by the lack of prayers that were being held up for him mm-hmm. by certain groups of people or in the church. Mm-hmm. And it just, I don't know, it just kind of made me think, wow, like, I feel like we're not in a good, like, what is it called, position or state.
Yeah. And before you read those, I'm gonna say that, you know, the church's job is to be Christ-like, mm-hmm. and Christ never went up to Mary, the one who was prostitute, right? Mm-hmm. Her name was Mary.
Mm-hmm. That was gonna get stoned.
Yeah, the one that was gonna get stoned. Mm-hmm. He didn't go, oh, this is just, when he got there, he didn't go, this is a setup. How do I know that you're really being attacked by these people and that you didn't do the things that, you know, they're claiming you to do? He immediately stood up for her. He immediately stood in the gap for her. And empathized and was there to save her and was there to be there for her most of all.
Yeah.
You know, like be there for her as a human being that he was. He was fully human, mm-hmm. and he was there, and he placed himself in the gap for her. And so that's being Christ-like, not questioning, not wondering, not just someone in need, stand in the gap for them.
Like just throw the politics out of the window and just be there. Exactly. Just love. That's what it is.
Just like these people that you're going to.
Yeah. And so Bishop T.D. Jakes, whoever is listening and is not aware of who he is, he's basically like a huge pastor in the United States and even around the world. He has a mega church. He's just a really big, important figure in the Christian community. Yeah. And he posted on his Instagram a picture of Jussie Smollett, and the caption read, "My heart bleeds due to our society's perpetual inclination to fall lower into an abyss of disagreement, disrespect, and decadence. Our inability to respect one another seems to be reaching an all-time low. When I look at Jussie Smollett, though I may not know him, he is just as entitled to respect as anyone else. My heart goes out to this public figure who draws attention to many faceless souls that routinely confront malice of this nature. This incident serves as a reminder of the inherent threat of ignorance. I not only pray that our society will evolve beyond hatred, but I also challenge us to cease the language that leads to lynchings. Mm-hmm. Please pray for this young man and his family. We're allowed to have our beliefs, but those beliefs mustn't infringe upon another's right to live free of such abuse. Come on, America. We're better than this, aren't we? I hope so."
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah. And I mean, it's, if just because he's black and gay doesn't mean that the church shouldn't pray for him.
Yeah.
And not so much the black part, because I know there are some racist Christians, but most, like, the most important factor is that he's gay. Mm-hmm. And not the most important factor, but the part that people are probably refrain from supporting
yeah.
him is because he's gay.
Yeah.
And like T.D. Jakes said, that shouldn't, just because you don't agree with
mm-hmm.
that part of his life or mm-hmm. him being gay doesn't mean that you should refrain from praying and loving on him.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what Jesus would do. Yeah. Didn't matter what lifestyle that person lived, he always loved
just,
on them.
Just like Jesus, he wasn't like, "Oh, Mary, sorry, you're a prostitute, I can't support you, but I'm rooting for you." I hope not. He like stood there with her.
Mm-hmm. And then Israel Houghton, who's also another really big
worship
leader, excuse me, in the church, he put, "Prayers up for Jussie Smollett and his family, praying for justice, praying for America, praying that love triumphs over hate and fear, praying for the church to wake up, shake off politics, and be Christ followers that we say we are. Speak out against the power that gives voice to polarizing hate and prejudice. It's the church's most powerful moment in time if we'll be courageous to do the right thing with it. Love God, love people." Yeah. And for me, if I am a part of the church, but in my head, I'm like, let's take this time to intercede for all of this just disgusting, ugliness that's going on in society, not just sit back and stay silent, because that's why we're in the position that we're in now, because the church has sat back so long and stayed silent for so long.
Yeah. And definitely, I feel like the church has done that because of fear of ruffling people's feathers, maybe their people in their congregation, you know, people that are supporters of their church. But it's like, we shouldn't fear man above, you know, fearing God and his love that he has mm-hmm. for his own children. Like,
exactly.
If that's our aspiration to be like him, we should, you know, try to resemble that a bit in our actions, in our everydays, in how we stand up. So I really believe as a church, we shouldn't shy away from these topics, from these controversial things, because we should actually do the opposite. We should charge at them,
mm-hmm.
you know, bring light to them, exactly. conquer those places that we're afraid to go to for some reason.
Yeah.
And again, that's the whole reason for this podcast.
Exactly.
Is our heart is to just kind of shine light on things that people are like, "Oh no, we can't really say that." We talked about the church's support of victims. Let's talk a little bit lastly before we go into some rapid fire questions. The church's support for Trump. What do you think on that?
I think that I definitely think that the church should always be praying for our leaders.
Yeah.
No matter who it is, no matter if you like them, if you don't like them, the church should always pray for the leaders.
Mm-hmm.
just because I pray for you doesn't mean that I agree with you or that I support you
or the actions that you're taking
and or the actions that you're, you know, the things, I don't stand behind the things that you're, that are coming out of your mouth, but I can pray for you and intercede for you so that you're able to make decisions. And something that I texted my mom the other night, because we kind of got into this like heated discussion about like Trump and the a lot of the people of the church and how they support him, and my almost confusion behind that. And so as I was sitting down, I was analyzing the conversation, and I was praying, and I was asking God, you know, God, I really feel like you kind of have to change my heart, because my heart was more positioned towards, well, because I don't stand behind what you say and because I don't agree with you
as far as Trump.
Let me just clarify. As far as Trump, just because I don't agree with you doesn't mean that I should just almost stay silent when we're praying for you, when we're praying for you as a church, and everybody's like, Lord, give Trump, you know, support Trump, and, you know, give him the correct mindset. And I'm just kind of like staying silent because I almost have this resentment towards him for the things that he's said. I kind of have to let that go. And I texted my mom and I said, our prayer for President Trump should be that he be sufficiently rooted in God's heart to lead a nation in God's way, to establish the nation on a firm foundation of faithfulness to God. That's what I think our prayer should be. Yeah. And I understand that we should pray for things like the whole abortion thing. We should pray for racism to end. We should pray for all that stuff. We should pray for immigration laws to change and all those things. But I think that if our prayer is that, then Trump's decision will be better than what they have been, or the things that will come out of his mouth won't be poison, and they won't be almost like shots at your heart and hurting, but it will be healing, and it'll bring fruit, and it'll bring joy, and, you know, just positive things.
Yeah. And I have two things. The support for a certain individual shouldn't be blind. So I feel like as a church, just because he falls into the Republican category, and just because he says that he follows kind of that Christian code of politics, we shouldn't just blindly be like, oh yeah, okay, yeah, this is our guy, we support him fully 110%. It's like, no, take a look at his actions, take a look at his character, take a look at his leadership, and make your decision in that way, you know. But and then so my second thing is also I agree 100% with Angela Rye's take on this, and she said, of course, my job as a believer, as a Christian, is to pray for him, pray for him, and then he started speaking to Trump. I'm gonna pray for you, you know, but I am not gonna stand and say that I support all the actions that you're doing, everything that comes out of your mouth, you know, things that are hateful, actions that you take that represent that. That's not what I'm here to represent. I'll pray for you, definitely. I'm called to pray for my leader, and I'm gonna do that. And exactly. I agree with that 110%. We are called to pray for him, and like just like you, I need to get better in that aspect of, I may not support him, I may not you know, be like, woo, excuse me, MAGA, woo,
right,
Trump, like I'm not on that boat, but at the same time I shouldn't be wishing for that boat to sink. I should be uplifting that campaign, Trump's campaign, in prayer, in asking God to bring wisdom into that man that he has right now as a leader. And that doesn't necessarily mean, I believe this is another point she said, that it doesn't necessarily, because a God appoints, doesn't necessarily mean that he's appointed just because that's what we need as far as leader, but maybe to show us what we've been lacking and what we need to get better at.
Yeah, for sure. Exactly.
So I agree with that as well.
I think that the things that have been going on right now, I think they're happening, and the church is like, oh, we're so hurt, we're hurting, we need this, we need that. Well, yeah, I think that these things are happening because God wants people to wake up.
Yeah,
that's definitely what he wants. He wants literally wake up. This Activation. Is why. Do you know why this law got passed? Because you're not awake. You know why these people are getting attacks in the streets? Because you're not interceding. You're too busy thinking and planning around your church and your events and how to, like, just right here, this little bubble that we have of people at our church versus interceding for the people out there.
And not only just putting a bubble on believers, but also, you know, people that, you know, may not be churchgoers or quote unquote Christians,
but are still silent.
Are just silent because I don't really rock with that. I don't really care, or not that you don't care, but that I don't really know what I can do about it. Just find the positive things that you can do and do those things.
Yeah, I definitely think that if you have a chance to speak up about something and you have a voice, just do it. And I think that back to what we were saying about Trump, I don't think it's, for me, I am completely understanding of the church and the prayers, and I'm not against that, but I do not believe that just because we're praying for somebody and he's our president means that we should defend everything that he does. Yeah, like definitely. That doesn't give him a free pass to do whatever. That doesn't mean we're gonna make excuses for him, and we're gonna say, oh, because you did it, because you're the president, like, here's some claps and here's like my support, because that's what I believe that we should do. I pray for him? Yes, but it doesn't mean that I necessarily need to agree. And I think that in Matthew 7:15, it says, constantly be on your guard against phony prophets. They come disguised as lambs, appearing to be genuine, but on the inside, they are like wild, ravenous wolves. You can spot them by their actions, for their fruits of their character will be obvious. You won't find sweet grapes hanging on a thorn bush, and you'll never pick good fruit from a tumbleweed. So if the tree is good, it will produce good fruit. If the tree is bad, it will only bear rotten fruit, and it deserves to be cut down and burned. Look at the obvious fruit in their lives and ministries, and then you'll know whether they're true or false. So the fruit that he's produced character wise is not good fruit.
And the argument can be made, and I've heard this be made, that the political side of things, maybe he's made some advancements. Maybe he's cleared some things up. That's not my area of expertise. I can't speak on that. But character-wise, the message he's bringing, the example he's setting, not the greatest. You know, not the best. And, you know, that, and I believe that uplifts people with hate, open hate, just like Tommy Lauren, who openly just speaks out and openly, you know, speaks out hate, especially for against the black community, you know, like, she just has this thing. And one of the comedians, Andrew Schultz, he was talking about, like, all that hate that she gets fuels her, you know, and so it's like hate fueling hate, and so we're just gonna see the world burn if we continue in that way. So you know, we definitely need to take a step back, reevaluate where the country's headed and what we can do different, you know, actions that we can do different, bringing love in those areas, you know, where we can bring not meet hate with hate, not meet anger with anger, but try to meet things with love, and having conversations like these of where we feel we're at as a society and what we can do about it.
So our final, well, my final thought for this podcast is, in order to make America great again, the church needs to pray, intercede, love, and not be silent. And then just in general, as a society, as a nation, as a country, we need to also not be silent, speak up, start a revolution, you know, start a movement. Don't sit idly by. Say something when you see something that's being done that's incorrect, that's unjust. And we have the power to make America great again for ourselves. You know, if we just as a society start by one thing, which is just loving, then I definitely believe that we will be moving in the right direction.
Yeah, that's making America great again, like we said, making America great for who? For everyone.
And if Trump ever happens to listen to this podcast, I would just like to say that I'm praying for you, but I would really like for you to change your slogan to "Make America Great" and not "Make America Great Again," and look at the people that are in your nation and what they need, and stop trying to go backwards, but let's move forward.
Yeah, and making America great would look like, for white, black, Hispanic, no matter male, female, no matter what sexual orientation, not discriminating against specific people, just love all the way around. And that's when I feel America will be great in general. And then my final thought is, you know, for our favorite sports teams, if there's a bad coach, we don't stop hating the team, but we definitely root for that coach to be taken out and brought a new and bringing a new coach. We don't have that same attitude for some reason with our current president. Not with the attitude. I'm not for the attitude of like, yeah, let's just impeach him and that'll be the, you know, resolution to all our problems. But I do believe it's like, let's have that attitude of something needs to get better. Something needs to get done. And have that same energy of that we have with our favorite sports teams, with the place that we live at, where we live and the country that we love and support, you know, and, let's have that same energy of like something needs to get better, definitely. So, yeah.
Yeah.
So if you guys have any thoughts, we're going to be setting up a little question thing on Instagram. Mm-hmm. Any comments, thoughts, any criticism too. We'd love to hear it.
We're so open to anything. If you guys disagree with anything, we're okay with that. I definitely think I want to, again, when I said that I wanted to start the podcast, and what was my word? My word was freedom. Mm-hmm. And so I want everybody to feel free to say whatever they think, if they agree, if you disagree, if you have criticism, mm-hmm. If you're in the middle. So my Instagram handle is at Heidi Nicole, HYDEENIKOLE. Mm-hmm. And Gerardo's is
complicated, but I'm gonna change it, but for now it's FKA Salad. And I only have Instagram, so you guys can hit us up there, watch our stories. We'll be definitely posting opportunities for you guys to reach out to us. We definitely want like a part two of this, just to kind of have an open-ended conversation with people.
Yeah, and happy Black History Month, because it's definitely February. And so that's kind of one of the reasons why I also picked this topic, but we'll get into more topics in relation to Black history. So also happy Black History Month, I would just like to say Black History should be celebrated all year long, not just for 1 month, but this is the month. So during this month, we'll definitely bring up more topics.
And we have one big announcement.
We're engaged.
That was super YouTube cheesiness, but we're engaged. We want to put out a video to like a reaction video or like a compilation of just some of the videos people are taking from that day, so we definitely want you guys to check that out. We'll have that figured out and posted mm-hmm. soon, so stay tuned for that.
And do you want to tell them when we're gonna have episodes from this point forward?
Yeah, from other than this episode, from mm-hmm. this point forward, we're gonna have every other Monday morning. So keep an eye out for every other Monday an episode being posted.
Yeah, and we'll definitely announce on Sunday night that there what time the episode will be posted by, and so you guys will definitely be aware of that. But that's gonna be our day. That's our consistent day, every other Monday. So that's two podcasts a month.
Yep. So that's it. Thank you guys for listening. This was Elephant in the Room. We'll catch you guys later.
Thanks, guys.